Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good evening, everyone. This is Charles Thomas with Impact Now Radio. And just wanted to say good evening and just hello to everyone. It's been a minute since continuing on with the previous shows. I mean, things just been going on, some up, some downs, you know, but through it all, to God gives the glory, according to 1 Thessalonians. You know, the scripture says, it says that in everything, to give thanks, because this is the will of God, Christ Jesus concerning. So, I just, you know, want to give God glory. And we're going to go ahead and get into this topic tonight. Narcissism, the spirit of Antichrist and his children. And we're going to go ahead and just once again try to dig and get some understanding and see, and with that begin to, you know, make the connections to what's really going on today of something that just seems so innocent and just like, okay, whatever, but with everything, there's some driving force behind it, especially when you see a lot of people doing it to the point where they're making products concerning a particular move. So with that, we're going to go ahead and open up and pray that we're going to go ahead and go forward with this lesson for tonight. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to begin to share your word and to become more enlightened of your word in the times that we're in. But first and foremost, Lord God, I personally come to you, Lord God, and ask you for forgiveness of my sins, Lord God, everything I've done that I've committed against your will, against your word, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, and ask you, Lord God, for cleanness of heart, Lord God, and Father, Lord God, like David, Lord God, it's against you and you only that I have sinned. And so, therefore, Lord God, I ask you to cleanse me, Lord God, and Lord God, I take ownership of any wrongdoing, thoughts, deeds, actions, words, things that were not done that were supposed to be done. Lord, we as your people, Lord God, come to you and ask you for your forgiveness, Lord God, because we dare not act like that we have not sinned against you, against your word, against your character, your nature, and your holiness, Lord God. But Lord God, in that when we come and confess our sins, take ownership of our sins, you say that you will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And Lord God, we just say thank you. And Lord God, I just pray that your word would go forth, Lord God, with clarity, with understanding, Lord God, and with force, that people will begin to understand exactly what is going on and the connections and the other things that it opens the door to, that we might do things in wisdom and understanding and not out of ignorance and darkness. So, Father, we thank you and we give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, once again, we're going to go ahead and deal with this topic, narcissism, the spirit of Antichrist, his children. And so, with that, I'm going to go ahead and start out with the scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1 to verse 4. Then I'm going to go to Ezekiel chapter 28. And we're going to go ahead and take a look at some things there. Then I just want to read something about the backdrop about this topic and what we're dealing with. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1 to verse 4. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves." Remember that verse right there, the first line, the first five words in verse 2 is what generates this topic right here, to help us to begin to look at, you know, how does this connect to perilous times and everything that we've seen going on. Once again, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers, but those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Once again, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So we see verse 2 starts off, and men shall be lovers of their own selves. And then we see verse 4 ends out the some of the signs that's going to hallmark the fact that we are in the final days. And the last line in verse 4, he says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 28, starting at verse 12. And it declares, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been eating the garden of God, every precious stone with thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the pearl, and the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set thee so. Thou was up upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy the old covenant cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, and I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Okay, so now we see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Then he says in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Then he begins to give a rundown, boasters, proud, you know, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and all these things. Then he ends it out in verse 4, where he says that they are lovers of pleasures more than of God. And so we begin to see, okay, that they have more love for pleasures, or the lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And so then, okay, we begin to look at this narcissism. So I want to read this information, a story about this particular character named Narcissus, from mythology, from Greek mythology and Norse mythology. From Greek, Rome, pan-Romanism mythology, and basically that goes along with basically all the Greek mythology, the Greek gods and stuff like this. Okay, and we want to see, and we want to get, I'm going to point out some of the words or some of the things in this story, just on the description of it, that has a connection. Okay, in Greek mythology, Narcissus was a hunter from Despia, or Despe, Boeotia, who was known for his beauty. He was the son of the river god Cephisus and Nymph Lerial. He was proud in that he disdained those who loved him. Nemesis noticed this behavior and attracted Narcissus to a pool. When he saw his own reflection in the water and fell in love with it, not realizing it was merely an image. unable to leave the beauty of his reflection, narcissists drown. And so, and then it says, narcissist is the origin of the term narcissism, a fixation with oneself and one's physical appearance. Once again, narcissist is the origin of the term narcissism, a fixation with oneself and one's physical appearance. Now, I'm going to read once again a couple verses from Ezekiel 28 again, and we're going to see what this connection and just begin to dialogue some things. All right, Ezekiel 28, starting at verse 13. Thou had, you know, this is God speaking to his prophet, showing him this, because when you read, just to give you a little backdrop, Ezekiel chapter 28, when you read like the first 10 verses of chapter 28, you initially see, you start out in verse 1, take up a lamentation against the prince of Tyre. And he begins to talk about the prince who in natural reality was the king over Tyrus in the natural realm. But then in verse 12, God tells the prophet to take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus. And when he begins to describe him, you have to begin to look and say, okay, well, this is not a natural person. And yet when you study history, it's like, okay, well, this person he called a prince was actually king. So now we have to begin to understand from God's perspective, the natural man or the human man that was ruling over as the monarch in Tyrus at the time was not, per se, the real governing authority. He was not the real governing power over Tyrus at the time. He thought he was, but yet not realizing that he was nothing but a puppet of a greater power, of something else, and that else was in the spirit realm, and it was this fallen angel Lucifer, or Satan, who God begins to understand at this time that he was governing over Tyrus at the time, and so really he was influencing in working through the earthly or natural or human king of Tyrus as like a puppet of I can't say the word right, a ventriloquist. So more so it was just puppetry. But yet the real power behind this was Satan, was Lucifer. And so that's just a little backdrop that the prophet was speaking against the natural king who was really a prince. He was second in authority, first in natural realm, but yet in reality he was second because in the spirit realm he was being controlled by Lucifer. So now, but then in verse 12 he begins to take up this proverb. So now to verse 13, he's talking to this fallen, talking about this fallen angel, describing him before he fell, when he was created, just how awesome he was, how awesome God created him, how awesome he looked and things of that sort. So it says, thou hast been to eat in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. Okay, so now when we go back once again, it says that when Nemesis, who was one of the river gods, or one of the began to realize that that Narcissus was treating other people, especially this one named Echo, who was in love with Narcissus, but he treated so bad because he was so caught up in himself that she went off into like a wilderness place, a deserted place, until, you know, and this is where we get the terms, or, you know, echo from, because when she would echo, or when she would say something, it would reverberate or say it back again. And so, and she ended up dying basically out there, you know, in the wilderness or in a mountainous place, and all that was left that was her was just her echo, just, you know, repeating itself. So it says, so Nemesis noticed this behavior and attracted Narcissus to a pool where he saw his own reflection. Key, right? Where he saw his own reflection in the water and fell in love with it, not realizing it was merely an image. So now we see this, how we have Lucifer, who's the covering cherub who God made so awesome, to stand before God to begin to direct the worship of all the heavenly hosts towards God. And when God's glory began to just shine bright and began to just manifest and begin, when it would hit Lucifer, he would light up. The stones that he was covered with would light up, and because he would light up from God's glory hitting him, the stones that he was covered with would give off a reflection, a crystallized reflection of the light and the color of the stones, where it will almost shine like a rainbow. You know, a colorful wonder all throughout the heavens and over God's throne. And so at point in time, so eventually it got to a point where he stopped looking at God and he began to look at himself and began to corrupt himself because he fell in love with self. Which now, once again, key, when we go back to 2 Timothy, where Paul says and begins to mark down the hallmark of the days that we're in. He says that, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And so now the question becomes, you know, how does being in perilous times connected to men being lovers of their own selves? Well, you have to begin to look at, when you are dealing with a person that is so completely selfish or self-consumed or self-loving that really they do not have any compassion or love or affection that they could really share with someone else, because they would take off the affection and love that they have and reflect it or turn it towards themselves or a aura of themselves. And so, and with that, when you have a person like that, it is those type of people who will throw someone under the bus for their own purpose. For instance, we have people that run these Ponzi schemes, right, that basically without a conscience, knowing that they are lying to these people, knowing that they're not going to be able to bring this 125% return back on a person's investment, and it being legit. Now, they might do it at first and bring back, you know, a person might invest, you know, $50,000, and probably within a couple months, they probably send a person their first check or bring a person their first check of probably about $15,000, $20,000, $30,000. And in some cases, you know, to really sweeten the pot because they know the person might has more money to really put into the scheme. So what they got to do, they got to make it look good to for the person to really go all in. This comes from because you're dealing with a person that's being one, selfish, and that is selfish and that's greedy. And so therefore, they don't care about the fact that a person is doing this, one, to build up the money where so that they can possibly either retire early or if they just started retirement or coming close to retirement, that, you know, hey, if basically if I could take the money that in the process that I have saved, money that was saved through a 401k, through an IRA, and probably, you know, just money I was probably able to save from paying the house off from my income taxes, you know, each year after paying house a certain tax breaks, able to save up and probably coming into other, and throughout the course of time, you know, came across some other ventures where to be able to make some extra money. And this person, you know, is looking, hey, you know, I could basically expand or grow this money that I have already grown a little quicker than what it's been growing in a traditional savings account or a traditional high-yield savings account or a traditional safe investments. But this one, you know, hey, saying I could bring back, you know, 80 to 90% or even 125% of your return in a matter of time. The person would go all in on that. Because they're not just looking at, hey, when I die, I want to be able to leave something for my family. I want to be able to leave something for my kids, you know, for my grandkids, or, you know, and be able to have things paid off so when I do die, you know, my family is, you know, is not taking majority of the money that was left to pay off last expenses and things of that sort. So I want to be able to leave something to be able to divvy it out to my spouse, to my children, to my grandchildren, of that sort. So you have the person that's running the scheme. It doesn't care. Why? Because they're completely selfish. They're only looking at what they can get to gratify themselves, that they can get a bigger boat, that they can get a better cars, go on better trips and drink better champagne and go to more expensive restaurants and things of that sort. And so now, we have this person that's completely selfish, and this is where the case comes with narcissists. With those that dealing with narcissistic behavior, and as, like I said, the topic, and read that how when you begin to look at this selfie explosion where you got people taking pictures of themselves 10, 15, 20-something times a day, posting it on Facebook or Instagram, and whatever other app that's out there that, you know, you can upload pictures and profiles and things of the sort of yourself. And of course, you know, you have what really made it go big with Kim Kardashian, you know, getting the pictures of herself every turn and look, you know, taking pictures of herself naked and all this sort of thing, and to the point that you could go on Amazon and buy a whole photo album of just selfie pictures that Kim Kardashian is taking of herself with friends, of herself with her family, and so the question becomes, one, why would I spend my hard-earned money to buy a book of pictures of yourself when I really don't know you and it's not beneficial to me? And when you begin to look at the things that they come out with, okay, you know, so you got phones that started to be made better for people to take better pictures of themselves versus having to turn the phone around, you find the button with your finger. If you have a touch screen, you have to know where, you know, that the button interface on your screen is at, so you won't accidentally switch the screen and you thought you took the picture or something like that. Or if there's a certain button, the home button on your phone, use it to take the picture of yourself. So what do phone makers do? They put two cameras on the phone. One that's on the back, like your, and then you got the front-facing camera, the one that you could use to take pictures of yourself, to take better pictures of yourself. And so then what happens? This, it became exposed. You got people taking pictures of themselves in their bathroom with their, from the female aspect, you know, pictures of themselves with one of their butt cheeks up on the sink and to show how big their behind is, or take a picture slightly bent over with their bra slightly sliding off to say, you know, show how big their breast is, or, you know, pictures of the, you know, of all these various things, show their hair, or just pictures of their face with their lips pushed out. All these things, and you start to say, what is wrong with people? What is wrong with society where you turn around, you got people taking pictures of themselves at every turn? But this is where you have to know that we are dealing with a spirit of narcissism. We're dealing with the spirit where people have fell in love with themselves, with the image of themselves, with a fantasy-stricken view of themselves to be such this thing to the point where they feel like they need to be idolized. And to the point, like I said, you have a lot of what these called vixens are called, with these nice bodies that take these pictures of themselves. That, yes, you had guys that drool and stuff over this. And so you have a society that is going mad worshiping people's bodies, worshiping how they look. You got groups of people that has feet fetishes where they just had pictures of people's feet and their toes and all this stuff. But this is a society-driven man. And Paul is talking about that perilous time shall come, and so he almost deal with it in progression, that men shall be lovers of their own selves. And so when you look at the thing, he goes on and say, okay, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Then the next thing he named is covetous. Covetous means basically that you desire or want something someone else has, almost to the point where you would take or manipulate what they have. So instead of you going to get your own, this name, to some kids, like, one of the Ten Commandments is, thou should not covet or covet thy neighbor's wife. So basically saying that you should not desire or want or crave for your neighbor's wife. Why is that? Because it would get to a point where you feel like that your need is so much greater to be gratified that you're not caring about that person. And what you would try to do is you would try to seduce or find some way to draw that woman's attention towards you and to get her to then to be tempted by you or to want you at the expense of breaking up her relationship or her marriage. And so knowing that God has to deal with that, we begin to see the connection now between men being the lovers of their own selves, because I don't care about your feelings. I want your wife. I want your husband. So therefore, because this is what I want, I'm going to do something to begin to sabotage that to get what I want. And this becomes dangerous because you have movies like Single White Female and Fatal Attraction and stuff, which was about that, where you had a person going, get into a fear, knowing they were married, but yet I had to have him or her. And then there's, and with that, it started a line of intrigue and murder and things of that sort. So my time is up and gone. This is Charles with Impact Now. Please look out for the next show for Friday. As we continue this narcissism, the spirit of Antichrist and his children. Thank you.